Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift, and we are live from Flowery Branch at Falcons training camp. Allie Mack is here. That's me. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Of course, Dylan is behind the glass back at the station, and Gordon, of course, keeping us on the air, making sure no one knocks out our power. Thank goodness, Bo, that you mentioned yesterday to get here early, because I'm seeing that people are listening. People are lined up, ready to get into training camp already.
Well, Allie, I'm here to spew wisdom, and that's what these people heard yesterday, and they listened, and they
spew is a good word.
they heeded the advice I gave them. Look, you want to get a good spot on the hill, get here early. You want to get through these gates quickly, get here early. You might wait, but you're gonna wait when it's cool, and you know it's gonna be a balmy like 81 by 11 o'clock today. It's actually going to be, seemingly from what the weather forecast looks like, very good. And you can see all of our shows up here. You know, us, Andy and Randy, Steakhouse, we'll all be here at Flowery Branch. And then you can join Dukes and Bell at the Hooters Mall of Georgia, which is the Taj Mahal Hooters, as we call it. That place is awesome. It's a great time up there because there ain't no party like a Hooters party. And don't forget, all of our coverage is brought to you by also the North Georgia Honda dealers. So, we're here now until the end of camp, so come join us.
Yeah, and it is absolutely perfect outside right now. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to say that, so I'll say it as often as possible right now. And we are right outside the weight room here at training camp. Everyone is getting a workout in right now. That is the busiest gym I have seen.
I felt like I needed to get down on the floor and stretch a minute ago. Like everybody was in there really getting after it. I was like, I need to get some functional movement going on right now.
It's got like LA Fitness at 5 p.m. vibes, except for most of these people like know what they're doing. which you get in LA Fitness at 5 p.m. and you get a little bit of everything.
Absolutely you do. Well, we are so excited to be out here. Who are you guys most excited to see on the field today?
For me, it's just the people I haven't seen. I want to see Jalen Walker. I want to see James Pierce Jr. just kind of out there and just get some eyes on them because I haven't been able to be up at OTAs. And, you know, there's been a lot going on in my spring this year with Pork Chop's arrival. So I'm really interested in just seeing these guys out there and going through it because, you know, Michael, I'm not trying to downplay. It's just to see your team back out on the field is the biggest thing for me on day one. But you're not going to see, you know, guys hitting each other. They're not going to be in pads for a couple of days. But I want to see those guys up close without, you know, all of the gear on, just a helmet and shorts on, and see, you know, what these guys look like and the speed of them and how they're running around and such.
I want to see a couple guys. I want to see Ruka Roro, see what kind of shape physically that he's looking like he's in, because obviously he's a massive part of what you want to do. But I've also already heard legends about Divine Diablo and what he actually looks like when he's suited up. A physical specimen is what I've been told. So a couple of the defense players that you're really relying on in the front seven, which I think is going to be a key in a lot of ways to the Falcons' success this year. I want to see how those guys look, how they're moving, and you know, how they hit the ground running as far as reporting out the training camp.
Well, and we're definitely interested in seeing them today, but we also want to know kind of where their headspace is. So I want to play some audio from the guys, kind of where they're set right now. Chris Lindstrom yesterday was talking about working out the details with a lefty QB.
Yeah, and fortunately, you know, we were able to get reps with Mike, and so I think the biggest thing as an offensive lineman is understanding the depth of the pocket and kind of where he's going to be, and so that only comes with reps. And there's a certain feeling you have, you know, if you're getting bull rushed, you know, there's a set of, you know, your brain's going 1,000 miles an hour, but you have a good spatial understanding of where Mike's going to be or what he likes to do, and so we kind of work through that, and then now in this time continue that going forward.
That's such an underrated part of offensive line play, the things he's talking about, the depth of the pocket. And really, that's just as much on Michael Penix to kind of study himself and make sure he's not drifting left, drifting right, drifting towards his reads, and also working his throwing hip, this front hip, up to the butt of where the center starts out, right in the middle of that pocket, and kind of working as he's hitching and trying to get rid of the ball, and, you know, before he's releasing, working the hip up. Because what he does, if you drift backwards, if you drift left or right, you're making it way, way, way harder on those offensive tackles, and also a wide set offensive guard the way that Chris Lindstrom is. I mean, Chris Lindstrom is one of those guys that sets kind of immediately out to his right instead of setting back off the ball to try to get his hands up as early as possible. It's a massive part of what they're going to have to do as far as the communication. And that's what happens in training camp, guys. You look at the details on the video, Is Michael Penix – you take your snap on the hash. Is he throwing from the hash? Is he drifting left? Is he drifting right? Does he feel the pressure? Is he getting his eyes down on those defensive tackles right in front of him? When you don't have pads on, that's when you work on things like that, because that's when guys are getting bull rushed the most a lot of times, and they're able to really kind of get that on film and make sure they're checking those boxes.
I think, to me, that also falls – you know, that's all. It's such a thing that, to your point, that we don't ever think about. And it goes back into the line of thinking why – when the thought process went into make the change last year, why everyone was just like, it was just given, it should have been happening at this point in this time. And, you know, that's some of the things that these guys are thinking about when they make decisions, right? Like the things that we don't think about that's going into a decision that they're putting into. And Lindstrom, to me, is a guy that has, as we move on in his career, I expect him to take – Jake is the leader in that room, there's no doubt. But I also see his personality, and I can see that, or think that he's a guy that's willing to let Chris, you know, kind of be more vocal if he wants to. Like, I don't see him stopping that. And that's one that I want from Lindstrom, because he's the most heralded player on the line nationally and with most of the fan base. And so, you know, him taking on a leadership role this year, I think, is something that is I'm kind of looking for as well.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys know, when something is new, you can kind of get jitters around it. Mike, you said even just driving up here today, you feel a little bit of the
anxiety.
Anxiety, yeah. Well, Bijan was talking about how there is a major comfort difference from his rookie year to now. It's like going from freshman year in college to junior year.
Just come prepared. You know, like for me, like my rookie year, I didn't know what to expect, and That was a hard training camp, man. Like, you know, from my body to my mentality, you know, to just my preparation. Like, it was something that it was hard to adjust to for me. And last year I kind of got it as well. Like, I started to pick it up, but this year, like, I'm locked and loaded, man. Like, it's just like my freshman year of college to my third year in college. That's the exact feeling that I have. Like, with freshman year of college, like, I was just blue, just unknown. And then for my third year, like, I was ready to go. So,
dude, I have anxiety listening to him, because I have those memories of your freshman year in college, and you come from high school. You don't know the trainer's name. You don't know. You're afraid you're going to be called soft if, hey, I got my toenail ripped off. Oh, did your toe hurt? You know, that kind of thing. Same things happen when you get to your first NFL training camp as a rookie. I mean, those guys, for the most part, and I think it's still this way, Bo, you'll have to help me, but they're down in a different locker room than the rest of the team. The team locker room is only suited for 60, 65, 70 people, so a lot of the rookies get down, put down at the end of the indoor, which is the old Georgia Force locker room down there from the indoor arena football days. So it's different. You don't know where things are. You don't know what's acceptable. You don't know what routines are okay. You don't, hey, I wear a hat into the weight room. Oh, you shouldn't wear a hat into the weight room. Just different things that you've never imagined in your life would actually be a topic of conversation that give you anxiety, or that you're not prepared to kind of deal with, or that you're, you don't know who to approach, the training, the director of football ops, things that are just giving you trouble throughout that training camp. That is a long, long year between college football and the NFL. It's also a long, long month when you get into training camp as a rookie.
It's like my first day of radio, I wore a button-up business shirt and business slacks.
You got laughed at, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I wear basketball shorts and a t-shirt every day with a, thin hoodie. Like, it's just like, whatever. Like, you just realize you don't know anything, and you expect one thing, and it's not that way. I thought it was funny because the Falcons put out a tweet of Bijan arriving yesterday, and Fricky tweeted and was like, oh, I'm expecting over under 1,800 yards and 10 touchdowns. And John's one of those guys that he nobody buys in more than John Fricky. Like, you got to love his enthusiasm for teams. And I tweeted him, I was like, well, you had like 1,900 yards and 15 last year. So I'm thinking, I hear that cut, and when I hear him talk about how relaxed he is being here and comfortable he is and how excited – I thought about that tweet because I immediately thought 2,000 yards, 20 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, those are the numbers I want to see from, because I think we talked about running backs, but Bijan Robinson to me is one of the best players in the NFL, not just best running backs. And I just expect a big year.
I'll give you guys another example of kind of what Bijan is talking about, year one to year three, your understanding. I used to have an issue, and a lot of offensive linemen have this during training camp, because you play in wet socks, sweaty socks. I used to have an issue with blisters on the bottom of my foot, and like My rookie year, I just went through with just blisters just ripping off the bottom of my feet every single day. Oh. And you're just raw skin. And you're just like, I'll just grit through it. I'm in an NFL training camp. And the next year and the year after that, I think I got one maybe 2012, which might have been my third year. And I go in and I talk to the trainer. And he's like, oh, yeah, we'll get that. You know, hey, lay down real quick. And it's like syringe to pull the stuff out, another thing that goes in to kind of dry it out. And they use nail clippers to clip. Like, you're being completely catered to. And you're like, why didn't I think about this 2 years ago? Like, why was this? Why did I suffer for a complete month with this going on my feet when I could have just approached somebody about the way to go about business, and they have the best health technology in the world to be able to help me out? But that's what Bijan is talking about. He's talking about the differences between when you first show up and that year three of knowing exactly what's expected of you and what your resources are.
Well, freshman versus a junior mindset. I like that he's coming into the season with that. I do want to play two clips from two different perspectives. First, Bijan. He is talking about how it's time for them to show that they're a playoff team.
Like I say, like, I try not to look, you know, that far down the line. But obviously, like, that's the goal for this team. You know, I know everybody says, like, win the division, which is, these are obvious goals that we want to do. But for us, like, it's more so if we just handle every single game the same and, prepare the same for every single game at a high level, then we're going to reach all of our goals, and we're going to get to everywhere we want to get to. And, you know, obviously everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. Like, that's everybody's saying that they're good now. Like, everybody's like, we have the best team now. But for us, it's like, you know, we got to put it to action. Like, we got to actually do it. You know, all the talk is, like, no more talk. Like, talk doesn't help anything. So for us, like, if we just actually just put our heads down and just work hard, we have the pieces, you know, that we need for a great successful team. But now it's time to come together, and so we can do it that far down the line.
Okay, so echoing that sentiment, yesterday on Dukes and Bell was Adam Schefter saying that the Falcons should be competing for NFC South, the title, basically.
I mean, they should be challenging for the NFC South title right now. Mm. And so, to me, there's no reason they couldn't get that done. But, you know, the Bucs have won, what, 4 straight NFC South titles.
Right.
And so, I think you have to make them a favorite, but there's no reason the Falcons shouldn't be competing. The Falcons should have won the division last year and didn't do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right? So they're going to feel like they're better with the pass rushers they drafted. And if that's the case, then they'll give Tampa a run for their money.
Well, and hang on to your thoughts on that comment from Adam Schefter there, because we got to go up. We're up against it right now. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We'll get to that next. We're also going to go in the huddle. A starting quarterback has been named in New York. That is next with the Morning Shift, live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Yes, we are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and we are live from Flowery Branch at Falcons training camp. I'm Allie Mack. Mike Johnson is here. Bo Morgan, of course. Dylan is back at the station. We're going to get to In the Huddle in a moment, but we ran out of time, as we often do, because we have a lot of thoughts on a lot of things. We ran out of time on the Bijan and Adam Schefter comments about how they should be playing. They should be a playoff team at this point, this season. How do you guys feel about those comments?
First off, I don't know why you were looking at me when you said we have a lot of things to say about a lot of stuff. I don't think he's, you know, setting the world on fire with some new opinion there. How many Falcons fans? We went 7-9, right, for like 3 seasons in a row, and you are 7-10, and you just felt like you were something away, and what was missing was a quarterback, Mike. And you went and signed a quarterback, and you're 6-3 with 2 weeks to go before the bye week. And then you hit the bye 6-5, and the next thing you know, you're 6-7.
Yeah. Kind of fell apart down the stretch.
Yeah. So you've had like 5 seasons in a row of picking in the top 10.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think and it goes back to our conversation with Eric Edholm yesterday. It's this weird kind of dynamic in the NFC South right now of, hey, the Saints are in complete rebuild. As a matter of fact, I think Mickey Loomis said a couple of days ago that, like, hey, this is just part of the rebuild. You know what I mean? Talking about Tyrann Mathieu and some of the other things that's gone on. Ryan Ramczyk, who's retired, and, you know, we talked about Jimmy Graham a little bit yesterday. Like, they are in complete rebuild mode down there. So it's like kind of pushed them down the list. Doesn't mean they won't beat some quality teams, but they're kind of in rebuild mode. They don't have their sights set on the division. Look at Carolina, so many unanswered questions where they are really putting Bryce Young up to bat this year, right? Hey, we've put everything around you. We've invested in the offensive line. We've drafted wide receivers. We've done everything possible to get you the resources. The Falcons are ahead of that, you would think, right? They're a little bit further along than that as far as the things that you're able to do. Still question marks around the Falcons. But then you look at the Bucs being the favorite, and the Falcons beat them twice last year. And that's why I asked Eric Edholm yesterday. It's like, where do we sit here? Is this a two-horse race? And he kind of echoed my same feelings. You feel like it should be. Doesn't mean it will, but you feel like it should be. And how those games pan out, especially with that matchup in week one, it's going to have a lot to say about where this division goes.
And real quick, the start, you know, I'm overhearing how tough the schedule is. It's an NFL schedule, guys. They're all tough. We play 18 games now, 17 games. They're all tough. Every one of them. So the schedule's really tough.
Dude.
They're all tough. Now, it is a murderer's row to start the season with some of the primetime games and the teams you've got coming in here. But who's got an easy schedule?
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were saying that Brian Daboll would be fired before Thanksgiving. And I was like, nah, man, you know, hey, look, they're going to give him some leash. He drafted Jackson Dart. And it was like, look at their schedule. At Washington to start, at Dallas, Kansas City Chiefs in week 3, Los Angeles Chargers week 4. They do have the Saints in week 5, but then you got the Eagles week 6, at Broncos week 7, at Philly week 8, San Francisco week 9.
Yeah.
You could have a much improved team in the New York Giants, and you're still playing an NFL schedule.
No,
like you're going to struggle.
Can we go real quick? What was the Giants record last year? Like 3-14 or something like that, right? They were pretty bad.
Yep.
They were pretty bad. They're playing a last place schedule. Okay? You're playing a second place schedule. That's how tough their schedule is. So miss me with the tough schedule. They're all tough. There's no Akron. There's no Akron on our schedule.
They've also got at Chicago, Green Bay comes to town, at Detroit, at New England, Washington again, Minnesota Vikings, and they finish with the Raiders and the Cowboys. I don't care how good Brian Daboll is, it's to your point. It just, like, you're going to play tough teams in the NFL. It just is what it is.
I mean, we at least have Carolina week 3 after starting with Tampa and then at Minnesota on the Sunday night game. So they're just all tough, Allie. But we have a good roster. To Adam Schefter's point, we have Drake London, who is a 1,400-yard receiver. We have Bijan Robinson, who is almost a 1,900-yard all-purpose player. We have the fourth overall pick at one point at tight end. Okay, we go on the other side. We have two of the best defensive players the SEC has seen the last 3 years, in Jalen Walker and James Pierce, coming off the edge. So put it together. I don't care. Put it together because it's 7 years. Since you saw the playoffs.
Well, speaking of Brian Daboll, let's go in the huddle. I'm sure you guys saw this. Brian Daboll has officially named Russell Wilson the starting QB. Any shock there?
No, and it's because of what I just said about the schedule. I mean, Russell Wilson is starting quarterback. You're not going to throw Jackson Dart to the Wolves. And he was already a guy who probably was a project of sorts in ways. Not great on intermediate throws. Comes out of a Lane Kiffin offense, which you're going to have to adjust to NFL speeds and doing things a little bit differently with Brian Daboll. I think they'll try to make him comfortable. I expect all three of these guys to start this year. I think Russell Wilson will start. I think he'll hit a skid. I think Jameis will come in and give you a boost for one or two games. And at the end of the year, decide to try to save his job and look towards the next season, Brian Daboll will probably start Jackson Dart in those final few games.
Yeah. What you're hoping is that, you know, Russell Wilson can have some magic like he did with the Steelers early when he came in last year, and it kind of faded. I think Russell Wilson might just be a backup or a stopgap guy now moving forward. And this year is really going to be the telltale sign of that because he had like 4 or 5 good games when he took over for Pittsburgh, and then they lost like 5 straight. So if he can get you to maybe, you know, 3-3 to start the season with their brutal stretch, then he might give himself some more of a leash.
Did you happen to see the George Pickens quote from yesterday? He was asked about, you know, his it really extending his route tree, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm looking forward to running some good plays." It just goes back to your Russell Wilson, and we know Arthur Smith very well here as far as the the wide receiver route tree that he utilizes. Mm. It was interesting to hear those comments coming from George Pickens. He was like, you know what, man? Yeah, I'm excited to run good plays.
That, and he probably doesn't want to block anymore because he's not big on that.
Well, let's head to the 305 in Miami. Tua says Tyreek Hill, he's working on his relationship with his teammates.
When you say something like that, it's you don't just come back from that with, hey, my bad. You know, you got to work that relationship up. You got to build everything up again, and it's still a work in progress, not just for me, but for everybody. But you know, like I said, he's working on himself. He's working on the things that he says he wants to get better with and do better on. So that's the first step to me, and so I commend him for doing that.
Mike, how long does it take for someone in the locker room to really regain trust or like repair relationships like that? Is it an I'm sorry and we're good? Or
I don't know that I ever dealt with anybody like Tyreek Hill in the locker room. Definitely not in college. You would have never heard somebody say something like that and actually return under Nick Saban. And I don't think anybody ever had that attitude. The most outspoken person we had usually was Roddy White, and I don't think he ever said anything like that.
Out who?
Outspoken.
Okay.
Roddy White never went out on a limb like Tyreek Hill did, just like, no. I'm out of here. So it just, and you know what else? My other reaction to that is I'm excited to hear Tua kind of say some things with his chest. Remember the Ryan Clark incident last year where he was talking about Tua being overweight or tattoos or whatever it might have been, and he's like, you know, comes back at a lot of those guys. This is a grown-up edition of Tua being like, nah, man, this is my locker room, my huddle, and things are going to go my way.
I love this comments. I don't know, Mike, maybe I'm wrong, but I've always seen Tyreek Hill as the kind of guy that you literally just – like, he's like that employee that you don't like and you just stay away from, but when he does – but he's good at his job, so he'll do something. And you'll be like, hey, man, that was cool. That was a good job, and then that's it. That's the gist of your interaction with a guy like Tyreek Hill is, you know, I mean, this is a guy that forced his way out of Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
So this isn't he's not the lovable, likable leader. This is one of those instances that the best player on your team, which I think he probably is, at least in the conversation for the Dolphins, is the best player on the team, is not the leader. Is not at all. And I love the fact that Tua stood up, like you said, and said, hey, he's going to have to mend some fences. But I also think most of those guys, is once he starts making plays, they'll be fine.
Yep.
Well, and sticking with the Dolphins for a moment, cornerback Artie Burns reportedly has a major injury. It's suspected he's got a torn ACL, which, of course, would completely change his season.
Yeah, it'll end it. That's it.
There's a number of things. And unfortunately, that's what season we're in right now. We're always the first week of training camp. You have guys that start to go down and situations you start to deal with. And, man, there's been a few of them already in the NFL. There will be more in the coming days, coming weeks. I've been a part of those injuries numerous times, unfortunately. And it stinks, man. But, you know, as far as the depth goes, this is why you try to draft and develop players at a very high level and try to keep moving on.
Well, and let's hear from Dylan's favorite player, Eagles O-lineman Jordan Mailata has an issue with people saying that the Eagles are defending their title. He's pretty passionate about this.
We're not defending nothing. We're not the defending champs. We're the 2024 world champs, that's it. We're not defending Sorry, we're not. So I don't like hearing like, oh, we're the defending champions. We're not defending nothing. We just won the title. And now we've got to go win it again. Prove it all over again. And that's the mentality this team is going to have.
Sounds like an interview you'd hear coming out of a PGA event or something.
This is true.
No, but he's right. And you have to have that mindset. I love that he does. It sounds like that this, you know, comes all the way down from Nick Sirianni and everybody else involved. And I know that Jalen Hurts has always kind of had that back against the wall mindset. We've heard a lot of talk about Jalen Hurts over the last few days. So it sounds like Jordan Mailata just kind of falls right in line with the rest of the mentality for this team.
I just want to quickly say that I am a Falcons fan. Bo, back to you.
You know, I don't know. Do you want me to comment on Dylan's comment or Jordan Mailata? I think it's a good mindset. You need leaders in there. They've got some guys that can lead there, especially on the offensive side, like Lane Johnson and Mailata. I think Jalen Hurts is a natural leader. I think he's just a guy that you flock to. You know, everything that Tyreek Hill isn't, that I talked about earlier, Jalen Hurts is.
Well, it is getting very busy around here. I'm seeing a Mexican food truck pull up. I'm seeing a coffee food truck pull up.
Right ahead that way.
And how many people do you think are in line right now? Like 50, 100?
I'd say more than 50.
All in the Squid Nation because they listen to the leader.
Well, it is getting busy around here. We are so excited to be out at Falcons training camp. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Caden Ellis. We'll let you hear some things that he has going on in his mind. It is the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp up in Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
It is 7:41 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift live from Flowery Branch at Falcons training camp. It is day one. I'm Allie Mack. Mike is to my right. Bo's a little bit further down on the table from me. And, of course, Dylan is back at the station keeping us on the air.
Wait a minute.
I feel like I'm they're just like being shot after shot. Taken.
I mean, I saw it was the hand motion. I mean, it was the hand motion where she was clearly – I guess maybe she was talking about eye level, but it looked like a shot.
I didn't mean for it to be a shot.
It's the second straight time we've came out of break, and she's just wholeheartedly looked at me and just unleashed. Like, I even asked her, when we got out of the trivia segment, I was like, so you annoy me? No, not at all. I'm just thinking about the setting up the next segment. I go, okay. And then literally all she's done is take shots at me since. So
she made a – just so people know out there, she made like a – eye level gesture with her hand, but it looked like a height joke.
Yeah.
Like a height joke.
You guys are
both sitting down underneath us.
Sometimes when you're you have flashbacks, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've had shots taken me before. I mean, I worked with Mike Bell for 15 years, so go figure. So I read a room.
I feel like we've got some projection going on, but we will move on from that. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We're about to hear from Caden Ellis, who spoke yesterday, but we are right in front of the weight room. Everyone is working out right now at Falcons training camp. Staff is setting up all kinds of stuff here in the parking lot, like the store over here. I am curious, do either of you have your wives given you a budget with the store that they're setting up over here?
My wife knows I'm not going over there.
Oh, okay.
Dude, nothing's going to fit me over in that thing. Are you kidding me? The bucket hat, like, my head's too big for all that stuff. I'll go over there and say, hey, y'all got anything in 3X? And usually they sell out within the first couple minutes of things that big. So it is what it is. No, I'll
didn't mean to make it such a downer.
Yeah, no, I didn't know. It just, my wife, she didn't have to give me a budget. She knows that, you know, anything that I've got Falcons related probably came from the internet.
Bo, will you be looking for a little onesie or something for Pork Chop?
We know David Bassidy and Matt Haley and Taylor and everybody at Falcons sent me a couple of onesies when Pork Chop was born.
So sweet.
So I've got those ready. But I might go over there and look at a hat or two because you know what? Hats fit, they don't fit me in a different way. They just look too big on me. So I might go over there and try one on or two. What?
Just picturing like Five Will Goes West where he puts on that.
Wow, what a pull. What the sequel.
You can pull Five Will Goes West, but I can't drop a casino line and you get on this show. Unbelievable.
We can do it all here on the Morning Shift. Mike, I didn't give you a chance to tease what you have coming up in Mic'd Up. What do you got for us?
Well, there
one
was,
couple minutes.
There was a tweet from a former Michigan player that went viral, and it was his training camp schedule under Jim Harbaugh. So I'm going to walk you guys through that and kind of talk about some of the differences now compared to what it was 10, 15 years ago, and just how much of a grind training camp can be and what these guys are going through right now. As you talked about, they are finishing up a workout inside right now, and it is only 7:45.
It's funny because we talked about the comments that Bijan made about being comfortable at camp year two and then now year three. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., who was the one in his second year, was like, I feel more powerful. I'm ready to showcase it. And it's like, it's that whole thing. Remember when he wouldn't work out for anybody during his draft process, almost 2 years ago now, and I know it was kind of, I think that he had a little bit of a transition he didn't expect, even though he had a great year last year for a rookie receiver, and that's scary because we got to play the Cardinals. Well, I mean, we got to play them, and we got to go to Arizona at some point. So thinking that he might be even better, and continuing to get stronger and faster is, yeah, we play them. Like, think December.
Yeah, I just.
November.
We've got Mic'd Up coming up in just a couple minutes. But let's get into this Caden Ellis audio from yesterday here at training camp. First, he was talking about what an ideal position would be.
You know, I think if I had my choice, I'd play inside linebacker on first and second down because you get a chance at every ball. And I would play edge on third down. So it's kind of. I think both have their perks, both have different aspects of the game that You know, you watch certain guys play, you see the way they impact the game as a stacked linebacker, and you get to see other guys impact the game as an edge or a rusher. And I think just, you know, that's the important part of football to me. And on defense, you know, you don't get the chalk glass. The offense does. They get to choose the play. And so it's when you go up against, you know, certain plays, you got to figure out how do you make your plays, how do you make your splash plays. And whether I'm at stack or edge, pass rushing inside, whatever it is, there's plenty of opportunities. And so I just love it all.
I think it's that's such a unique and insightful comment from hearing from Caden Ellis, because we talk about him so much, and I think when he was signed here that people had the idea that he was an edge. He's a – and he always has been. It's unique to hear him say that because he is a blitzer. Like, he's not really an edge per se. He is a blitzer. He's a guy that can walk up and blitz, not really, you know, put his hand in the dirt and rush the edge and do kind of some of those different things. But to hear him say that, Bo, I want to get your thoughts on this, because hearing that comment, we've talked about the position battle of Troy Anderson, Divine Diablo at inside backer, and, you know, what kind of different roles. We've also talked about what Jalen Walker is going to do. I just wonder if, in the beginning of training camp, if you'll see a Jalen Walker mirror a Caden Ellis and some of the position flexibility that it sounds like that he would like to see in his game.
I doubt it, not based on the way they say they want Jalen Walker and the things they want for Jalen Walker. I would love it because Caden Ellis is, I believe this is the last year of his deal, and everything he said at the beginning of that that soundbite about where he would like to play on first and second down, which is the inside, because you got a shot at every ball, and then the outside and being an edge guy on third down, and he's just talking about stats, and stats equal money. It might not equal wins, but for a player, individual stats equal money.
No doubt.
And so I looked at a guy thinking, I know exactly how to get paid in this league, and I want to be at those positions to do all those. Oh, and by the way,
dang,
it helps our team win.
Yep.
You know, if you're a defensive player and you're racking up sacks and interceptions and strip fumbles and that, you know, fumbles and that kind of stuff, those help you win. But yeah, I would love it, but I just don't see it necessarily. But I would love to see Jalen Walker following everything Caden Ellis does in that, because he's so much more Jalen Walker than an edge rusher, which, just like I believe that Caden Ellis is so much more than just a regular inside backer.
Well, I feel like in all the audio we're playing today, you can hear that little twinkle in the eye, like just the excitement that's going on with these guys. Let's get into some more audio from Caden Ellis. He also talked about what he loves seeing on his play sheet.
She's got an arrow. Go that way. And that's what, oh, I love seeing that. I love seeing that.
Yeah, what he's talking about is he's talking about, hey, I don't have to react to what's happening in the backfield. I don't have to react to what the coverage is and what, you know, motions I see. It's a blitz. You're going to be downhill. You're going to either run a pick stunt, or you're going to edge rush, or you're going to be, you know, one of those guys trying to get after the quarterback, or you have a specific spot you at least need to be at on the defense. But you can hear that in his voice where he's like, yep, I want to rush the passer and be able to affect the guys in the backfield. I love hearing those comments come from him.
Yeah, I also think about when, you know, coaches talk about we just tried to simplify it for them. I mean, when you simplify things for some of these guys, the game's moving so fast. Offenses are throwing so much at you that if you only have to think about just getting to your spot or going after the quarterback or getting to that guy and making sure you're covering him, it allows you to play free and you're not overthinking things. And when you're playing free, you can play aggressive. It flows, and you end up getting better. You get better results. I remember when Todd Grantham came to Georgia. And then at Florida too, and people were like, why are these defenses not playing as good? All these talent, and it was like, and then they would always get to the same thing. It was too complex. This simplification for defensive players means so much.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to be said about that as well. I actually have had this conversation a number of times about Alabama's defense and how complex Nick Saban's defense was, and how in this era of transfers and freshmen that are starting and that are stepping in right away, that you almost have to dumb things down. You don't have guys that will come in and sit back as five-star recruits and start in year three as a five-star linebacker, right? So you almost have to dumb things down in a way, because in year one you have to have those guys on the field and making an impact. And, you know, to go back to the Jalen Walker conversation, speaking of, you know, five-star players and, you know, linebackers, I also wonder, too, in the back of my head as I ask those questions about him mirroring Caden Ellis, I also wonder about what the future of Caden Ellis is with this team. This is a guy who numerous times when we've talked about them possibly creating cap room and financial flexibility as you move towards the future. I thought he would be a name that popped up. We talked about him being a defensive MVP. We talked about the thought that he should have been a Pro Bowler or whatever else last year. It's like, what is the future of Caden Ellis? He's a guy that they haven't extended. He is going into the final year of his deal. He will be a free agent next year at this point. And you did just draft a guy in Jalen Walker who can play an off-the-ball linebacker spot. So I think that also kind of feeds into my line of thinking as far as that pairing goes.
Yeah, I don't think you I think it's a very important year for not only him but Troy Anderson as well, because if Troy Anderson was to finally blossom, right, you could probably get him for a little bit less than Caden, because I think Troy will have another year, because four years, what, right? This was his third year. I believe this is his third year. Or is this his fourth?
I can't remember. Fourth.
Yeah, so both these guys would be up then, and you might be able to get him a little bit cheaper because of the injuries and not being able to stay on the field. And the point of me bringing that up is that that makes Caden a little bit expendable, and then you don't have to put Jalen there yet. I don't know. I could be wrong. Personally, if I had to choose, I'd take Caden Ellis all day long.
I would too. I would too. And that, just like I said, though, I just wonder when you start getting to certain points of things where they start looking, and this has been a forward-looking, front office for a number of years. Obviously, when you draft Michael Penix after you just signed Kirk Cousins, it's like, hey, we're going to look towards the future. I just wonder if you're seeing a little bit of that as well.
Do you think Devon Diablo is a quicker version of Caden Ellis? I don't think he's as good at blitzing. You've said that you didn't, you don't think that. I believe, So I don't know. There's a lot. I mean, this team's going to have some money, though, next year to spend. I know that. So if they want to bring him back and it's going well during the middle of the season, I think they can do it.
Yeah. Well, we are live out here at Falcons training camp, and let's go ahead and talk about the schedule these guys might have. And just a reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Now, you might have seen this tweet, this Instagram post that went viral earlier in this week from Jordan Joe, who was a former player under Jim Harbaugh, and he started going back and forth with people talking about training camp schedules and how difficult certain things can be. Jordan Lewis was revealing this is on CBS Sports earlier this week, and he's talking about the training camp schedule under Jim Harbaugh. And I think a lot of people kind of got wide-eyed. They're like, man, that is a long training camp schedule. Mm-hmm. And like I said, these guys that are part of the NFL right now, PA-wise, have a limit on how many hours. I think it's 12 hours. It might even be down to 10 as far as the amount of hours you can be put to work. Now, when college players get into the regular season, there is a 20-hour rule, which is kind of a loose thing. You don't count, like, showering, cold tubbing, things like that.
Does this count right now, them working out in there?
This right now is part of their training camp schedule. Like I said, these guys have a cap at, like, 10 or 12 hours a day. This is part of that schedule.
Okay.
Like, you can require them to be at the facility by 6:30, 7.
Anything that a team official is at is
anything that
counts,
a team official
right?
is at counts. Now, like I said, a lot of those guys will start stretching before that. They'll get here and, like I said, they'll hot tub, cold plunge, whatever else, and work up to this. So that doesn't count. But the things that the team officials are at are going to be on that schedule. Here's what Jim Harbaugh's schedule looked like. All right. 6 to 7:30 is treatment and eating breakfast. Now, I would say 80% of the team is probably involved in treatment at that point, and you're all going to eat breakfast. Your offensive lift is going to last from 7:30 to 8:15 a.m. You're going to get dressed. You got 15 minutes to go in there, get your cleats on, jersey, helmet, everything else, get dressed for walkthrough. Your walkthrough will last from 8:30 to 10 a.m. This is all very broken down very specifically. You're going to get done with the 10 a.m. walkthrough. You have about an hour to where you're going to eat an early lunch. You're going to get more treatment. You're going to get taped. You're going to, your knee braces, everything else, make sure everything's suited up. You got an hour to do all that. You're going to go to offensive and defensive meetings from about, let me make sure I get the meeting from 11 to 11:30. Offensive, defensive meetings from 11:30 to 12:30. You're going to get a slight snack for 30 minutes. You got to be back in meetings for just about an hour, and then you're going to get taped. You're going to get on the field. You're going to get stretched out. You're going to be ready to go by 2 o'clock. You are not off the field until 6 o'clock. When you get off the field, you go straight into your lift. The lift will last for 45 minutes. You get done with that. You go straight to treatment, getting ice packs, whatever else you need to get done. You go straight back into special teams meeting at 8 o'clock p.m., and you don't get done with those offensive and defensive meetings till 10 p.m. So let me rehash that.
Wow.
You started your day at 6 a.m. and you got off the field at 10 p.m. That's exactly what I dealt with when I was part of the Atlanta Falcons. That's what the schedule looked like. As you are sore, probably cramping, and you're walking your way back across the practice field out into those condos out there next to Lake Arthur. It's a long day. And so I look back at that. I don't think people understand exactly what the grind is for some of these guys. Like I said, it's different now than when I was here for the Atlanta Falcons that are actually working out. But these are long days. They are grinding, and they're going to be doing this for the next month. It's a lot to kind of put in there. So,
I mean, I know that's a rigorous, very tough schedule, but how refreshing was it to just have it all laid out for you, though?
It was very nice. Yeah. You have to kind of make your own amendments to said schedule because some things take longer than others. Like 15 minutes. Like, when am I supposed to go to the bathroom? Right. You know what I mean? Like, where can I fit this in? At what point do I get the IV after practice because I lost 12 pounds? Like, when is that supposed to happen? So, yeah, you got to deal with some things yourself.
Well, please continue to ask Mike questions about this because it's fascinating to me to know exactly what the schedule is like for the Atlanta Falcons. Coming up, you've got the wake-up call. That's your opportunity to ask some questions. 404-726-0929. Jump on the show with us right now. Ask your questions about training camp. Like I said, that schedule, 404-726-0929. You can also send your questions in via Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. That is next with the Morning Shift. We are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.